Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Snooker Scene Podcast. I'm Dave Hendon. A new book has just been published called Simply the Best. It's written by Snooker Scene's editor Clive Everton and is his take on the life and career of Ronnie O'Sullivan. Of course, Ronnie himself has published two autobiographies, but this is a more objective look at the extraordinary life and times of Snooker's at times troubled genius. The O'Sullivan career continues into his 43rd year. It's been a rollercoaster ride which has fascinated, at times appalled, at times thrilled audiences all around the world for nearly three decades. And Clive is ideally placed to chart the highs and lows of Ronnie's time in the snooker world. He was first writing about the junior Ronnie back in the 1980s and has documented every title, every controversy and every utterance ever since. The book is published by Pitch Publishing. It's out now and can be ordered through Snooker Scene's mail order pages and is available also in bookshops and from online outlets. There was one technical glitch in the recording which couldn't be helped. See if you can spot where it is and you win a prize. Please note, there are no actual prizes.
Okay, Clive, the book is called Simply the Best, a biography of Ronnie O'Sullivan. What was the idea behind writing it?
I just wanted to tell the world not just how good he was, but all the obstacles he's had to overcome, off the table as well as on.
Yeah, I mean, if you sat down to sort of write a novel about a sportsman, his kind of life would lend itself to it, wouldn't it? Because it's been such a roller coaster.
Well, indeed. A junior prodigy without a care in the world, then out of the blue, his father kills a man in a drunken brawl, goes to prison for 18 years. The enforced separation rips Ronnie apart. He turns to things to alleviate his unhappiness, his depression, like drink, drugs, you name it. In fact, it only creates new problems. His form varies from the sublime, not quite to the ridiculous, but to the poor. But to poor form at times. He has to cope with recurrent bouts of depression. We mustn't forget that he missed a whole season once before winning the world title. And I've also shown, I hope to some degree, that Dr. Steve Peters has really turned not so much his career but his life around. There's quite a bit of stuff in there on that.
So what's the focus of the book in terms of sort of snooker versus everything else? Is it, I guess they're intertwined, are they?
Absolutely, because life is not just a succession of snooker matches. You could be in any sort of state when you go to play a match. You can either enhance your performance or reduce it.
What happened with his dad obviously was a big trauma, but prior to that, his father had been very instrumental, obviously, in instilling discipline into him in terms of his snooker, but also they had a full-size table, which not every player has, and they had top players, or certain top amateurs, coming to play young Ronnie, which was a massive advantage.
Well, this was an enormous advantage. Ronnie did show ability from the time he was given a toy table for Christmas, but to have your own table, your own snooker room, to play as much as you like, and also have some parental money behind you to play in the clubs around his home in Barking and Ilford, that was invaluable. But the one thing I would emphasise is that although Ronnie was born with a lot of natural ability, more than his fair share, you might almost say, he's had to work on his game, and he's never been slow to take advice, to pick the brains of whoever he thinks can help him. And he's still doing it.
Yeah, that's right. I think he does listen to people, and he's still curious about not necessarily chasing perfection, but I guess learning new things, and you know, because he's not in sporting terms a young man, and maybe I know he's teamed up this season with sight right. He's obviously seen that as like a new challenge, maybe.
Well, you win 5 ranking tournaments, and then you sign up with sight right, and he spoke very warmly about how they could help him. So maybe this season will be one of his best.
Mm. When he first came along as a teenager, you know, we have it even now. You see a young player and he's sort of tipped for greatness, but it doesn't always happen. But it never really seems to be any doubt with Ronnie that it would.
No, the only way that he wasn't going to make it was if he undid himself.
Mm.
And he came close a few times, but I think in the end the game actually meant a lot to him. He talked very often when he was very young of retirement, but then the next thought is, well, what am I going to do without snooker?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, his career definitely could have gone off the rails, couldn't it, with everything that was kind of happening. And also, he becomes public property, which I don't think he's necessarily comfortable with. He didn't actually like all that stuff, does he? I mean, he's not one of these celebrities who is desperate to be photographed. Actually, the opposite is true.
No, he's quite a private person in his way. Quite shy, indeed, in some ways. But of course, on table, he's a completely different animal. He goes through. Go through the curtains at the Crucible, for instance, or wherever, and his mindset is on the game. Unless it isn't, of course.
Yeah. But that's the thing we were saying about he had certain advantages, I guess, as a youngster, but you still have to be able to stand up at the Masters or at the World Championship or at the UK Championship, wherever, and pop the balls and do the business. So where does that come from? Is that belief that's been instilled in him as a young man, or is that just how he is, to actually have the belief that he can do it?
Well, practice is ultimately about ridding yourself of fear. And he practiced so much when he was a kid that plus his natural ability made his confidence, really cemented his basic confidence, which he knows how to work on now as a mature adult.
Mm. We often talk about the entertainers, the sort of lineage, Alex Higgins, Jimmy White and Ronnie, but actually his career compared to theirs has been a lot more successful. I know Higgins didn't have as many events and all the rest of it, and did win 2 world championships after all, but you know, Jimmy didn't win the world championship. Ronnie, his actual playing career is up there with the Davises and the Hendries rather than those guys.
Oh, well, I think he's better than either, actually. And I think most of the players on the circuit think he is. Anthony Hamilton said he's always been the best. He makes you feel like a cart horse. And this is from a very good player. Mm. Sean Murphy said that he's the standard that everybody is judged by.
Mm. So what makes him the best?
Well, simply his performances, and also the manner of his performances, the fluency, the charisma, And of course, in making him a big personality, his pretty colourful off-table life and background.
Mm. Is there an argument? I mean, look, he's won, you know, so much. But is there an argument actually could have won even more if there weren't for all the stuff going on outside of snooker?
Well, I'm certain that he would have done, and some of the events he did win. He was playing against the grain, and I think people underestimate that they see Ronnie's fluency and brilliance, but they underestimate his mettle as well.
Mm. A lot of people listening will only have ever seen him play snooker. What is Ronnie like as a person?
I think he's instinctively warm-hearted, very good sportsman. Doesn't whinge, modest in victory, perhaps puts himself down too much. He's matured as a man. He takes an interest in the world about him. Some of his friends are pretty eminent in their own fields, like Ed Miliband and Damien Hirst. I think he's done pretty well as a man as well as a player.
He himself has published 2 autobiographies. How does your book differ from them? I guess the obvious answer is it's more objective because you're not writing about yourself.
Well, that's absolutely it. My book isn't a public relations exercise. It's warts and all. He has made quite a few mistakes, and usually he's acknowledged them. I think that any ghosted autobiography tends to be very selective. The subject of the book isn't going to come out and say what a rotten fellow he is and he did all these rotten things, or even these things that perhaps he shouldn't have done. So all the controversial incidents in Ron's life are dealt with, but I hope with a due measure of sympathy.
It seems now, and maybe it is because you can pick and choose, it doesn't feel like a sort of a treadmill as such, he seems very level-headed now. You know, he doesn't seem to... There's always going to be the odd thing incident, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of controversy, really. He's become like a proper pro, I guess.
Yeah, I think Dr. Steve Pease has had a big role in that. And certainly it's a big contrast from the days when he described his life as a treadmill of turmoil.
Yeah, because he'd been in the Priory, of course. He's actually a bit of a survivor, isn't he? I mean, he said he'd retire when he was 19 or 18, 19 or something. And he said it many, many times, but there's no actual prospect of it happening, is it?
You're going to retire and do what?
Mm.
I think he's done the next best thing, actually. He set himself up with subsidiary work. I think he's a very perceptive television analyst, for instance. His books, plays his exhibitions, which are, of course, completely different from matches. So I think he's done okay.
He said something interesting to me, actually. We were at the Crucible, he was commentating for Eurosport, and between frames he said, cause obviously the box is overlooking the arena, the table in the arena, and he said what an amazing view this is. He said, I've never seen the Crucible from the... He normally would see it from his seat, which is obviously different and it's more anxious and all the rest of it. And it was kind of interesting that after so long he'd found a new perspective. I think he gets that from the TV work. I think he was a bit reticent at first watching the other players, but actually he genuinely seems to enjoy it.
That's my impression. And he's very good at sort of picking out little flaws in positional play, even in technique.
But here's the thing, so he turned pro in 1992, here we are 26 years later. His game seems to be as good as ever, arguably better than ever, because he's more disciplined.
Yeah, I think his all-round game is better. He's always been a sensational potter and break builder, but he's never stopped learning about the tactical side of the game. And this is going to help him in his 40s, because he certainly looks good for another 2 or 3 years at least.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, how long can he go on for? Because he keeps himself fit, which I think makes a difference as well. There seem to be fewer younger players, certainly younger British players, challenging. And also he has this aura. You see him against certain players and he's already three or four frames in front before anything's happened. And that's not going to go, that's not going to recede at any point. So how long can he carry on for?
Well, until he starts losing more often. I mean, there will come a point when he will say it's not worth it anymore. Great players either retire or the game retires them. Steve Davis went on long after he had any realistic chance of winning anything, because he liked to treat it as he treated it almost when he first started, as a hobby. Stephen Hendry couldn't stand trying to compete with his own past, so he retired. So it's always a tricky decision to actually decide when enough's enough.
One thing though, I think it's been noticeable at the Crucible in recent years, he has slightly struggled there. And what's interesting is he's lost to players who he ordinarily would beat in other tournaments. You look at the players he's lost in recent years: Stuart Bingham, Barry Hawkins, Ding Junhui, Ali Carter. He's got great records against them in other tournaments, but they've beaten him there. So is maybe that defeat to Selby, when he'd been a long way in front in the final, maybe that's had an effect, possibly?
Yes. I think 17 days is a long time at the Crucible. You need a lot of mental intensity, and I think the older you get, the more difficult it is to maintain it.
It's quite likely he's going to make his thousandth century. Hopefully I'll be able to say that when he does. this season. I mean, just put into context what an achievement that would be.
Well, going right back, Joe Davis made 638 centuries in all public performances, exhibitions and all. coming to the more to the present day, Hendry retired on 775. Not as many tournaments then as there are now, but counterbalancing that, Ronnie has missed a lot of tournaments for one reason or another. So I think we can say without fear of contradiction that he's the greatest ever break builder.
And it's very hard to answer this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Will there be another talent like him? Because you feel that probably, like in any sport, someone comes along eventually, like out of the woodwork, Roger Federer comes along or whatever, and raises the bar. But they're going to have to raise the bar quite a lot, aren't they?
Well, they are, and they're going to have to raise the bar when Ron is no longer there, I think. So there are always great players always emerge.
Well, the book is called Simply the Best, biography of Ronnie O'Sullivan. It's out now. You can order it through Snooker Scene's mail order, or indeed go to a shop and buy it. I'm going to ask you, actually, Clive, how many snooker books do you think you've written now? Because you've written plenty.
I think counting ghosted books, around about 30.
Wow. And can you just tell people, because again, not everyone would know, how much time goes into writing a book like this?
Well, the Ronnie book I started about 2.5 years ago, because I was relatively slack at work during the summer, and it was basically, you know, something to keep me occupied. I think it's much more difficult to write a book if you do nothing else for 3 months. Yes. It's better to sort of do it in bits and dabs, which is how I've done the Ronnie book, chapter at a time, basically.
Okay. We wish you well with it, and as I say, it's called Simply the Best, and it's out now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
La primavera llegó y eso significa limpieza a tope. Ya sea que necesites comprar cositas de limpieza o cambiar tu ropa de invierno por ropa fresca, asegúrate de usar iBora para recuperar dinero por cada compra. Ahora mismo iBora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por descargar usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve al App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de iBora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es IBOTTA en Google Play o App Store y usa el código La Música.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.